A common image for Lent is the wilderness. These 40 days are sometimes called going into the wilderness. And there is, I think, good reason for this. The wilderness is a landscape of wild and barren terrain where unexpected things can happen. It can be a harsh place. It's probably a place we don't want to live always, but only go for a time. But the thing about the wilderness is there's little to distract us. There are not those things that can mask so easily our feelings and our thoughts. In the wilderness, we're confronted with who we are, with our full identity, even our temptations and cravings. They're all on full display. And so I think thinking of Lent as a wilderness time can be fruitful. It suggests a time outside of ordinary time, a time when schedules are altered, monotony is broken, a time without the usual daily comforts, but also distractions, when we can learn about ourselves and about God. The wilderness offers space so we can hear God's call and discern anew God's call to us. But, make no mistake about it, the wilderness can also be a wild place, even the metaphorical Lenten wilderness. It can present us with challenges. We can feel lonely. We can wonder, is God here? We may not always like what we see of ourselves in the wilderness, as the outer veneer of our identity is stripped away. But what is clear is that time spent in the wilderness can be renewing and restoring, though it can also be challenging. And I think without experiencing wilderness times, we can grow complacent. We can become set in our ways. We can believe that things just are as they are. Nothing's going to change. And the real danger is that we can drift away from God bit by bit, almost imperceptibly without realizing it. And we can come to forget how beloved we are of God, that we are part of God's people. Maybe even at times we can forget God. Christopher Weber edited a collection of Lenten meditations that's called A Time to Turn, Anglican Readings for Lent and Easter. And these readings offer a passage for each day of Lent as well as for Easter week. And they're excerpts from sermons and other writings from Anglican writers over the past 500 years. It's a very rich collection. In the introduction to this collection, Weber writes something that I think is important about our call in this season. He says, and I quote, "Lent is above all a time of turning. Lent provides us with a time in which we can break away from the old, familiar, and deadly patterns we so easily fall into and open ourselves to the possibility of something new. Lent is a time to turn, when we turn away from the compulsions and distractions of our daily lives and seek a new direction. We may discover to our surprise that our world also has also begun to move towards patterns of life that have much in common with the ancient disciplines of the Christian church. The church has recommended prayer, fasting, and charity. The need for these is evident now on every side." Unquote. In our lesson today from the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is preparing the people to enter the promised land after they have been in the wilderness for 40 years. And during this long journey, they were tested and they were also disciplined by God. In times of want and need, God provided food and water, sending manna, quails. God remained faithful to the covenant that God had made with the people. And in the wilderness, the people were formed into God's people. The land they are about to enter has been a long time in coming. They've been longing for this moment. And this land is abundant. But in that abundance, it will also be easy for them to have their attention to God become dulled, to have their trust in God, even their worship of God, be eroded. And so the people are called to remember their past, to remember who they are and whose they are. They must never forget that they are a people in relationship, in covenant with God. They must remember that once they were a refugee people wandering in the wilderness. And so they are to always welcome the refugee, the sojourner in their midst, and to do so in remembrance of their past and in thanksgiving for God's deliverance. And when they enter that land that God is giving them, they are to offer the first fruits of the harvest to God, giving back to God from the bounty of the earth. This is an act that's to be a reminder that everything that they have has been given to them by God. And God gives them the fruits of the harvest from the land that God has given them. Because God led them out of bondage in Egypt and brought them to this land, they no longer wander. And so they are to remember it is God who delivered them. It's God who brought them to this land flowing with milk and honey. And as an act of thanksgiving and remembrance, they then take from the bounty of the first fruits of the harvest and offer it to God. Just as through that wilderness experience, the people of Israel come to know who they are and come to understand their relationship with God, so Jesus has his own experience in the wilderness. In today's gospel, we hear Luke tell us about Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit leads him to the wilderness. You may remember at his baptism, the voice of God was heard declaring Jesus to be God's beloved, God's chosen Son. And in the wilderness, Jesus wrestles with what this means. What is this call to be the beloved? And in the wilderness time, comes to understand his vocation and his ministry, how he is called to live into being God's chosen Son. And in the wilderness, Jesus fasts for 40 days and 40 nights, and it's not surprising, though Luke makes sure we know, that he is famished. And the devil in that time comes to Jesus and says, "If you are the Son of God." It almost seems like the devil's beginning with a kind of taunt, a challenge to Jesus' identity and vocation. And then the devil goes on to offer temptations which involve Jesus shirking his time of fasting. The devil tempts Jesus to use his power to act outside God's purposes, even God's intentions for creation, by turning stones to bread. All these temptations are about Jesus putting his own cravings, his own identity, ahead of his call, his vocation as the Son of God. In the face of these temptations, Jesus remains faithful, relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, and resists the devil. And it is Jesus' fast that is the model for our own Lenten journey. We are called into the wilderness to wrestle with our own identity, as well as our own temptations and impulses. Lent is a time for us to engage in self-examination, to ask questions like, who are we called to be? How are we responding to God's love? What is the state of our spiritual lives this year? And what I think is a central question is, how can we faithfully live in response to God's love? One of the Lenten practices to which we are called is fasting, denying ourselves something for either a short time or for the entire season. And many of us find this is not always easy to do. And certainly fasting in our middle class world, if we're talking about food, which is so plentiful, can be hard and maybe isn't something a lot of people do. And yet fasting is an ancient practice of the church, especially during Lent. The minister and author Brian McLaren writes about fasting in one of his books, Finding Our Way Again, The Return of the Ancient Practices. And he writes about a time years ago when he knew very little about fasting and he decided he was going to fast. And he describes how he's out running errands, and without thinking, he stops for a glazed donut. Now, rarely, he says, did he ever do this, but on this day he's fasting, his impulses took over. And as he takes a bite, he thought, in his words, shoot, I was supposed to be fasting today. Then he goes on to describe this experience, and I'll quote him in his own words. The proverbial red devil with his pitchfork and arrow tail was predictably perched in whispering distance to my ear. And you can guess what he said. Well, you've blown it already. Might as well eat the whole thing. And while you're at it, those bear claws look pretty good, and you haven't had a jelly-filled donut in years. I think your blood level for chocolate is low, so you probably need a chocolate-filled too. And then meanwhile, in the other ear came the sound of my better angel's howling laughter. Instead of feeling mad at myself or guilty, I was totally amused. Even though I didn't have the foggiest notion of exactly how fasting was supposed to work, somehow that moment of laughing at myself told me that even though I was failing at fasting, the practice of fasting was succeeding. Unquote. Through fasting, though he seemed to fail at it, McLaren sees his weakness in the face of his impulses, in his cravings. And he learns that when he fasts, he practices impulse control. He understands the importance of something greater than impulse gratification, especially a desire for spiritual growth. Fasting allowed him to admit his spiritual need, even his spiritual poverty. And then he goes on to conclude by describing an incident sometime later when a colleague criticized his work on a website, and reading the criticism, he felt a visceral response in his body. He started thinking about ways that he could get back at his attacker, what he could write proving who was the better person. He describes it as a hunger for revenge, a desire to win the argument and hurt his attacker. But instead of doing that, he decided to let it go and not respond. He didn't give in to his craving. He resisted his impulse for revenge. And reflecting on this, he wondered if what he had learned from fasting was somehow connected with letting go of his desire, his hunger for revenge. Jesus calls us into the wilderness this Lent to learn about ourselves, to go to new wild places, to shake off complacency of routine. Jesus knows the power of our temptations. He experienced them too. And Jesus knows resisting temptation often goes against what we feel and what we desire. He knows that we can respond to our impulses without even realizing it, without thinking about it. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus resisted temptation, and so can we. And Jesus offers us the strength to face our temptations and also to learn from being tempted. If we enter this wilderness with Jesus during these 40 days of Lent, our lives will be changed. We will understand ourselves better. We will realize our need for God more fully. May this season help us reorient our lives, turning to God, so we know the deep joy of Easter this year. Easter that is the foretaste of the eternal life that God desires to share with us and with all people. Amen.